Welcome back to Watchman School of Prayer, and we are in class number 20, and this is still Spiritual Warfare Prayer 3. This is the last session that we'll be having on the Spiritual Warfare series, and this session is called The Roar of the Lion of Judah. The Roar of the Lion of Judah. Now, obviously, you can see, I'm standing here, there is a flag, and I'm going to talk about that flag in just a minute. But first, let's go and open up with our scripture, which is Revelation chapter 5. Let's go to Revelation 5 and verse 5. Revelation 5, verse 5, and it says, "One of the elders said to me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" Here you see depicted the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, of course, none other than Yeshua, our Jewish Messiah. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I wanted you to see, and here on the Jerusalem flag, and I guess we're going to depict it. I'm going to see if you can move. I'll move the flower, unless it's in the way. The lion here, this is the flag of Jerusalem. This is the flag of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And you see right here the emblem of a lion. And there are vines around here. So you see the Lion of Judah depicted right here in the flag of Jerusalem. And I think that's pretty powerful because it really says something. And we know that the Lion of Judah is Yeshua. And we have learned already in previous sessions that he is a powerful man, master of war, master of armies, of legions, the Lord of hosts. Amen? And obviously, as this depicts Jerusalem, we all know that today there is a tremendous amount of warfare, we would say, about Jerusalem. Why? Because that's exactly where Yeshua is coming back to rule and reign. So that is what the warfare is about, that particular piece of land. Now, I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes, believe it or not, about lions. Hallelujah. Okay? I think we need to learn a little bit about lions. And we see that he is called the Lion of Judah. Well, what are the traits or what are some things that lions do? And as we see this, I believe that your understanding will open up as to how God wants us to be. Those of us that are the male lions, those of us that are the female lionesses, amen? I'm a lioness, amen? We know that the lion is called the King of Beasts. All right. We also know that the lion is a watch animal. If you ever noticed, he watches quite a bit. And we are watchmen, those of us that are here attending. And if you're watching or listening, God is raising you up to be a watchman. Now, lions do not live easy lives of kings. You know, oh, if I was a king, got an easy life. No, they don't. They have to struggle to survive in the grasslands of their native home. And this is so we have to understand that. It's not the lion that you see in a zoo, all right, that we're talking about. In order to eat, they have to hunt and kill other animals. And in many ways, the lion's life depends actually on the lives and the habits of other animals. Now, the lion's body, we're going to talk about the lion's body for a few minutes. His body or her body is especially equipped for hunting, all right? Now, we know that they have a golden brown color of fur, and that fur actually blends into the surroundings of where they are, you know, in the desert, in the African area, the desert area there. One main thing is that they are built for speed. Their bodies are built for speed. They have no extra fat. They have very, very strong legs. And all over their body, their muscle structure, their legs are very, very strong. So strength is a main factor of a lion's body or of a lion, whether it's the male or the female. Now, another thing that's important is they have very sharp senses. What are the senses? Well, you know, their eyesight, their smell, their hearing. It helps them to find the other animals that they're looking for food. Now, let's just go and look at a scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. And no, it's not going to talk about a lion's sight, but it's going to talk about sight. And it's something we need to remember, because our eye gate and our sight is very, very important. What we see has a lot to do with our lives. It has a lot to do with what we put into our eyes. Has a lot to do with clear sight. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 18, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Now, it's talking about our spiritual eyes. And when our spiritual eyes are clear, we know what God is calling us to do. We don't wonder about it. There's no wondering. You know. God speaks to our knower, not to our wanderer. But our spiritual eyes have to be open. That means we have to have clarity. And the eyes of the lion are very sensitive. They can see very well at night in the dark. And that's when they do a lot of their hunting. Okay? And so we know that in spiritual warfare, it's light against dark, correct? So even when it's dark, we need to have light shining through our eyes. We must see the attacks of the enemy. We must know what they are, all right? Like the lion can see well at night. Now, one of the things about lions is they have very close communication amongst their tribal or their pride. It's called a pride. That's actually what their group is called. It's usually a group of family, a group of lions. They're called a pride. And so they have very close communication, and it's very important to their survival. They must cooperate and communicate with each other in order to protect themselves and their babies. Now, this is very important in our lives. In our family's life, if we don't have communication between a husband and a wife, between children, and so on and so forth, it is very difficult to have success. And by the same token, we go to a local body, a church, a congregation. If there is not close communication, if there's not a bond there where people are touching base and knowing what's going on with one another, then it's very difficult to protect one another in circumstances. By the same way, it's the same in the larger, the body of Messiah. Unfortunately, there's division in the body of Messiah. Somebody doesn't believe like that, so they cut somebody else off. Somebody doesn't agree with that, so they cut them off. They don't believe in spiritual warfare, which is what we're teaching, so they don't want anything to do with you. Well, that's why the enemy gets a stronghold. That's why the enemy can do things in the body of Messiah, because remember, the enemy has a rank and file, all right? The enemy has a rank and file, and he is able to do things in an order, okay? Whereas in the body of Messiah, we're not grouped together enough. We're not linked as a unit enough, so it's easier for the enemy to come in, do tactics. You know, one thing I can tell you about the Israel Defense Force, if you ever notice, or if you ever listen to anything about how they work or operate, they're very closely knit together. And there's a lot of unity there. And that's why they have a lot of success. And in any army, there has to be a unity. Amen? Yes. So that's what happens in the lion's case, all right? But we're relating it to us. Now, another area is their sounds communicate with each other. And we know we just had a class on the sounds of warfare prayer, and one of the sounds was roaring. Now, how many of we all know that lions roar? Amen? And they roar loudly to call their fellow lions together or to keep strange animals out of their territory. So you want to keep strange animals out of your territory. Roaring is good. Amen? Now, the lionesses, the female lions are called lionesses. They also roar. Now, sometimes they're soft when they're handling their cubs or calling their cubs, but both the female lioness and the male lion, they make certain growls and coughing sounds when they're about to attack or fight. They're larger, loud sounds when they're about to attack. Now, I told you that the name of the group together is called a pride, which I said you can relate to your family or your congregation or your church. This group is very carefully guarded. So they're always on guard. Now, what are we to be? Watchmen. We are to be watchmen on guard, right? And the male lion's job is to defend the lion's territory from outsiders. The male lions, they roar a lot just before sunrise and just after sunset. They can be heard for miles. They're so loud. And this roaring warns strange lions to stay away. Because many times there are little wandering, what they call nomad lions, that try to come into the pride's territory, and they have to fight to kill, because what happens is they try to take the lead, or the male lead lion, over. Now, I've seen a lot of that in the body of Messiah. There's a lot of rebellion in congregations and churches. Sometimes those that are under leadership don't like what leadership is doing, and they rebel. And they try to tell them what's right or wrong and try to take them over. Well, rah, that's what I would do. You gotta rip their head off, amen? That's true. If I really do a roar, wait, you haven't heard nothing yet, you know? But you know, that's nothing more than rebellion. And also, you have to understand, we are called, remember, to be watchmen. And I'm just going to go over here a minute because I want to show you, as the lion prepares ambushes or watches, remember what we have as our prayer scripture for Watchman School of Prayer, Jeremiah 51:12, set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, which is actually the confusion or the world system or the things that come against us. It says, make the watch strong, set up the watchman, prepare the ambushes. Lions do that. They prepare ambushes, okay? And we are learning about lions. Why? Because Yeshua was the greatest and is the greatest, the Lion of Judah. So we need to learn the tactics. Okay, a few more points to tell you about lions. The lionesses, now this is very interesting, the females, they do most of the hunting. Yeah, they are better hunters. They are usually slimmer and faster. And I've noticed, not all the time, but spiritually, females in the body of Messiah seem to be better hunters. Not all of them, but you seem to have abundance, more of female lionesses in the body of Messiah coming against the enemy than you do male lions. But praise God, we're changing that. Amen? Amen? How many men say we're changing that? Amen? Amen. I hear the lions. That's right. Now, the lions, many times they hunt in groups. And what happens is the male lions. But the lionesses, they also hunt in groups. But a lioness also can work alone when she's going out to get a smaller animal. She can surprise them. It's kind of interesting when you think about this, you know. They have a strategy against the enemy. Rarely will a lion attack if the lion has been seen by the prey. Now, this is something we have to understand. We have to think about this a minute. In other words, if the animal that they want to get has seen them, they won't attack. And so many times we just kind of get out there and start attacking things. We don't even know what we're attacking. Because we haven't gotten a strategy from the Spirit of God as to what to do. Remember way back when we first started prayer school, what did I teach you? To be led by the Spirit of God. And there was a class all about wisdom. Praying for the wisdom of God. Praying in tongues. Getting the mystery. What is God saying about the situation? So we must not forget that. The lion knows to do that, okay? He may not pray in tongues, but he got his own tongue, you know? Now, the lionesses, they work together in teamwork most of the time in hunting with other female lionesses. And it's kind of grueling what they do. They spot, like for instance, several giraffes, okay? And these giraffes are spread out, you know, they're moving in a group. And what happens is the lionesses silently, there's a number of them, they spread out quietly and they start to surround the giraffes. Now, if the giraffe, I'm saying giraffe, it could be another animal, but in this instance I'm using a giraffe, if it begins to run, several lionesses wait at different places to trap the prey. Okay, and once one giraffe is caught, it'll take two or more lionesses to bring it down and kill it. But they got like a sequence that they do. Now I know some of you are saying, poor giraffe. But you know, these are the way God made lions to be hunters, and they go after animals to eat them. I mean, so many times we have to understand is, you know, we may think, well, I don't want to go after this spiritually because it may hinder or hurt someone. Well, no, God has made you to go after things if it's something that is coming against truth or coming against the light of God. And we do it in the spirit. We don't attack the person. Let's say if it's not something you're warring against a power, principality, but a person, for instance, may be manifesting and they may have bitterness, anger, might be in your family or whatever. You need to start doing spiritual warfare against that particular anger, the bitterness, or it could be even a bondage. It could be alcohol, drugs, or something. But you begin to attack it in the spirit. Amen? You don't attack the person. So that's where there is a difference there. Now, lions also make, as I said, different noises. They have a snarling. Even the little ones have meows, the cubs. But the main noise is the roar. And that's what I'm going to start talking about now, is the roar of the Lion of Judah. That is the most characteristic sound of the lion, the roar. The roar helps them in all areas of their life. To find each other. It marks their territory. When members of some of the pride roar at the same time, it brings them, it calls them together. And so, this is an important characteristic. And I went into Webster's Dictionary and I looked up the word lion. Of course, we knew it was an animal. But you know, it has some other definitions. And it says also, a person felt to resemble a lion, especially in courage, ferocity, dignity, or dominance. So actually, you know, somebody could be referred to as a lion if they have the characteristic of a lion. This is why Yeshua was referred to as the Lion of Judah. Amen? And the word roar in the Webster's has, I've given you some definitions out of the Hebrew lexicon, and here is a definition out of Webster's. It means to bleat, to utter a full sound, a heavy, prolonged sound as a lion. And so this is a sound of spiritual warfare prayer. Now let's just look real quickly at three features. There were many features I talked about. But three features, they are great features of the lion. And let's look at it referred to in the Word of God. Go to Proverbs 30, verse 30. Proverbs 30 and verse 30. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turns not away for any. So this describes the first feature of a lion, which is majesty, strength, and it's indicative of royalty. Majesty, strength, and royalty. That's one. Actually, there's three characteristics there all in one. Okay? Majesty, strength, and royalty. Let's go to Proverbs 28 and we'll look at verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 28:1. Another characteristic of a lion is courage. If you remember when Joshua was going to take the children of Israel after Moses died, God began to speak to Joshua, and he said it many times. He said, "Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong and courageous, Joshua." Why did he say that? Well, he was depicting actually a lion. Strength and courage. And many times we need that strength and courage, even in small things. You may be battling some kind of a situation. It may just even be about fear. It may be over a sickness. It may have something to do with your family members, all right? I mean, I know we do battle for nations, but now we take it into our own personal lives. And so you have to be strong and courageous in order to do battle. If you don't have strength and courage, you can have all these weapons, you can know how to do all these sounds, but if you don't have strength and courage, the sounds won't work anyway. Amen? Okay, and let's look at Psalm 22:13. Psalm 22 and verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Okay, now this particular characteristic actually is cruelty. In other words, it's a ferocious type of animal that is not going to stop at anything to get rid of the enemy. Now, I'm not saying we're to be cruel. But there is a cruelty when a lion goes after its prey and it's going to get it no matter what. Amen? So when we target something that the Spirit of God is telling us to do, and the Spirit of God many times in the Old Testament told them, kill all of the ites in this area. Don't save one of them. Because God knew that if they did, that the sin that was in that territory and those people would come upon his people. So many times in our own lives, we have to destroy whatever it is to the bottom root in order for us to have a victory. Let's say there's something in our lives that we're dealing with, okay? We have to get rid of that. We have to fight the fight of faith and deal with that. You got to be cruel sometimes with yourself, not just with the enemy, amen? And if you're fighting something out there, you have to keep going at it. You chip away and chip away, little by little. You will have the victory. When we go to take territories, cities, towns, nations, it doesn't happen overnight when powers and principalities have been there for hundreds and thousands of years. You have to chip away at that. Okay, so we know that roaring is commanding, is one of these sounds that's commanding the powers of darkness to come down, to loose their hold. Now, Yeshua, Jesus, he lives in us. The Spirit of God lives in us. Amen? So that means that Yeshua, Jesus, in us is roaring sometimes. We're going to see that in a little bit. The Holy Spirit takes hold with us to do battle. And Jesus, Yeshua, is the Lion of Judah. And by our decision for him, and by him dwelling in us and us in him, if he roars, then we roar. If he says roar, then we roar. And that's something that we have to understand as we begin to learn more about these areas of battle, especially when we begin to fight the larger powers of darkness, and even when we go into battle, especially for the children of Israel, for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. There is a battle for their lives. There has been a battle for their lives for centuries, and it is not over. And somebody has to stand in the gap to help win this battle. Now, one thing we need to understand is the devil never has the real thing. He has the false. And we know it says in 1 Peter 5:8, and let's just look there. 1 Peter 5:8, famous scripture, you all know this scripture. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." Now, the devil pretends to be a lion. He is not a lion. Amen? There is only the lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah, and that's Yeshua. But it says he pretends to be a lion. Now, it says that if we are not alive, aware, alert, that's what sober vigilant means, being a watchman, the enemy will come to devour you. How is he going to devour you? Well, here's some ways he devours you. When you listen to the lies of the devil, then he devours you, all right? When you start getting into fear, anxiety, depression, worry, anger, the devil is now devouring you. He has now sought someone out as a roaring lion, and he is coming to you because you have allowed that stuff to come at your mind. And so we must be aware of that. We must remember what we said about lions. What did we say? That when the lion gets his prey and other animals try to take his prey, the lion roars to show them, don't come close or I'll attack you. Now, when you start getting attacked in your mind, you may need to roar at the devil. And you might need to do it real loud. Because if your mind's getting really attacked really bad, you might need to say it really loud. And this is a weapon, a sound, a power that God has given us through the blood of Yeshua. And that sound pierces the enemy, and I guarantee you it is going to stop. You know, Yeshua, Jesus, he roars to protect us. He roars to protect his Jewish people. And he is full of courage and strengthened as a lion. Now, we're going to look at a very important scriptures in Hosea chapter 11. I'm going to read you this out of the Amplified. And this is talking about Israel. And it has to do with God's people, the Jewish people, going back to Israel. As we know today, there are many of them going back, but many more need to go back. And you're going to say, well, what does this have to do with the roar of the Lion of Judah? Well, you're going to see how this particular sound, as we stand in the gap, and as we pray, and as we come against the powers of darkness with the roar of the Lion of Judah, that it's going to free God's people. Hosea chapter 11, and starting in verse 7. I'm going to read 7 through 11. "My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though the prophets call them to him who is on high, none at all will exalt him or lift himself up to come to him. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you and cast you off, O Israel? How can I make you as Admah, or how can I treat you as Zeboim, both destroyed with Sodom? My heart recoils within me. My compassions are kindled together." You know, God is saying here, even though he said so many times that he's had enough of them. You know, I can't take it. Their rebellion is so much, you know. You know, they had all this. He had wrath, you know, on what they did. He's saying, I can't give you up, people, Jewish people, Israelites. I can't give you up. I can't surrender you. My heart is wooing me to bring you back. Verse 9. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not bring back Ephraim to nothing or again destroy him. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of you, and I will not come in wrath or enter into the city. Verse 10. They shall walk after the Lord who will roar. Everybody say roar.
Roar.
Who will roar like a lion. You need to underline that. He himself will roar. There it is, the word again, second time. And his sons shall come trembling and eagerly from the west. They shall come trembling, but hurriedly, like a bird out of Egypt, like a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will cause them to dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you about verse 10 and 11 here. In verse 10, he's talking about the Jewish people. It says, they shall walk after the Lord, who is roaring like a lion, making a sound in the spirit, all right? And it says, when that sound is done, his sons, the Jewish people, shall come from the west. Now, the west, believe it or not, has to do with America, all right? And most of the Jewish people, other than in the ones that are in Israel, live in the west, in the United States, and the bulk of them on the East Coast. And God is saying, when you roar like a lion, they're going to come trembling, coming back from the west. They will begin to make aliyah from the west. We just had a powerful thing happen a week ago. 400 immigrants from America just made aliyah. There's going to be many more, okay? So, what is holding them? Well, what's holding them is, verse 11, it says, they shall come trembling hurriedly like a bird out of Egypt, like a dove out of the land of Assyria. Well, that refers also to the Jews in the Middle East, but Egypt is a type and a shadow of the world system. And Egypt, the word Egypt also means, in the original meaning of the Hebrew, something hemming, a stronghold. So there's a stronghold that's holding the Jewish people captive. And one of the things that's holding them captive, I can tell you, in America, is Babylon, or the system of Babylon, which we know is our scripture, all right? Prepare the ambushes, set up the walls on Babylon. It's the system here where everything's so great. You know, they have it so good. Why do they want to go back to Israel? The luxury is wonderful. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're not thinking about him. Because here, it's an easier life, or so they think. We have to pray that they will go and make aliyah, as the word of God says that the fishers help them to go back before the hunters come. It says in Jeremiah, hunters are those that are running after them. I don't know what's going to happen here. And I don't know when you're watching this by audio or when you're listening by audio or watching by video, I don't know what's going on at that particular moment. There may be more persecution. Right now, there's a lot of persecution in Europe. And so God is speaking to us and saying we need to make the roar like the Lion of Judah to break the powers of darkness that are holding the Jewish people captive so they will have a heart to want to go back to their homeland. Now, you also can see here the West is also a picture, you know, of the sun going down. Because the sun goes down in the west, all right? It gets dark. And this is also a picture of a type of believer who is backslidden and has no light. So if you are praying for someone and they are backslidden, they have no light, as you begin to roar like the Lion of Judah, you begin to break the strongholds off of their life, and they will want to come back to the Lord. We have to look in this. Yes, this is for Israel, but we can also, as the body of Messiah, take it personally for different areas in our situations. The word roar here, again, is a very loud sound. It's a rumble. It can also be a lower sound. It has the meaning of all the sounds I gave you having to do with roaring. Now, it may seem unusual for us to do this, but as we learned a while back, Yeshua died for us, but he did not take, he brought the victory, he brought it for us, but he gave us the keys of the kingdom. We are to bring the victory through. We are to push the victory through. Whatever it takes as a watchman, we are to do that. You know, it's kind of like a, you know, an actor. Like, for instance, actors, they get a play. And they already know the scenes in the play. They know the end of the book, okay? And at the end of the book, they win. We know the end of this book. Amen? We know at the end of the book, we win. Same like an actor. But what happens when an actor is doing the play or doing the movie? He has to shoot the scenes over and over again. And in certain scenes, there's war. There's battles. There's confrontations. There's problems. Even though he knows the end of the movie, which is a victory, he still has to do the battle scenes. He still has to do the victories. He has to move them through. Amen? No. Well, we understand that Yeshua, he has the victory at the end. But we have to push it through. We must do what we're called to do while we're here on the earth. We can't just sit back and relax and say, oh, God just did it for us. I've already given you that scripture, how it's talked about in Corinthians. I've told you that in previous classes. How Yeshua, he did do it, but the demon powers are not subdued. They're not under his feet. Not yet. Amen? And he's left us here as the body to push the victory through. Now, in particular, we are to push the victory through for the Jewish people and for Israel. The church, and if you're watching and you are a believer, a Gentile grafted in, you have a calling on your life. A calling to push the victory through for the Jewish people and for Israel. You say, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, God's called you to do that. If you read Romans 11, it's very clear. God has not finished with his people. And God is telling us, as the body of Messiah, to do something. Isaiah 49 and in verse... Well, let's look there. Let's look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49 and verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentile nations and set up my standard and raise high my signal banner to the peoples. And they, who? The Gentiles, will bring your sons in the bosom of their garments and your daughters will be carried upon their shoulders. This is talking about the body of Messiah, the church, that are to help the Jewish people go back to Israel in finances, in prayer, pushing the victory through. God has called us as believers to do this. It's not something that's just for the person next door. It's for everyone, amen, that loves the Lord. I mean, if you love the Lord, he's Jewish. You have to love the Jewish people. And if you love the Jewish people, there's going to be something you want to do. Now, maybe you can't do the finances, but you can pray. You can certainly pray, and you can become an intercessor, and as a lion of Judah is today. He's roaring up in the heavenlies. I tell you, there are times he weeps, but there are times he roars. And so we are to roar just like him to push the victory through. Let's go to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Now, this particular scripture, I mean, we could take these scriptures. You know, it says Jesus, Yeshua, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And many times scriptures can be taken for yesterday, today, and for the future. And I believe that these are scriptures that are just like that, the scriptures we're about to read. They can be taken for past, present, and future. In Joel 3 and verse 9, it says, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare war. Stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong, a warrior. Well, remember, lions are strong, a warrior. Amen? Go to verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now I know many times we take these scriptures for people that are unsaved, that they are in a valley of decision to be saved. And there's nothing wrong to do that. But this is talking about Israel and the Jewish people. We must not forget this. And there are multitudes in valleys of decisions, even today. And there will be more in the future. And it says in verse 16, the Lord will thunder and roar, here it is again, roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the children of Israel. It's very clear here. Now the word Zion, and I need to really clarify this. I have heard the word Zion used so many times for the church. It does not mean the church. Zion means Israel. It means the Jewish people. And in particular, even here, it means the mountain of the rulership of God. And the mountain of the rulership of God is in Israel, in Jerusalem. Now, if we want to, if you are a Gentile grafted in and you want to use the scripture, you can use it. But please put it back where it belongs. Amen? And this is where it belongs. Because the Lord, he is roaring from Israel, from Zion, it says. And he also roars through his believers. And the believers are the Jew and the Gentile that make up the body of Messiah, or as we know it, the church of at large. Amen? And so God uses us also in this instance. Now look at verse 17 and 18, and you will see the effects of what this roaring does. So shall you know and understand and realize that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and strangers and foreigners not born into the family of God shall no more pass through it. Praise God. That's in the future. Hallelujah. Those that are not going to be grafted in, those that refuse to know the Lord, there isn't going to be the war that we have now over in Israel. There isn't going to be that. That's going to be ended, okay? Where they're fighting for the Temple Mount. Because the Temple Mount will belong to the Lion of Judah, Yeshua. Amen? Verse 18. And in that day the mountains shall drip with fresh juice of the grape, and the hills shall flow with milk. Milk has to do with the Word of God. The hills shall flow with the word of God, and all the brooks and riverbeds of Judah shall flow with water. What is water? A type of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The anointing of the Holy Spirit will flow in that area. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. Verse 20, but Judah shall remain and be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. And I will cleanse and hold as innocent their blood and avenge it, blood which I have not cleansed, held innocent and avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. God is giving a promise here to the children of Israel. And he's saying, even though you were maybe away from me, when you come back, I'm going to cleanse you with my blood, the blood of Yeshua, and I'm forgiving you, and I will have avenged you, and you will be inhabited, and you shall remain Judah. You know, the word Jew, if you don't know it, comes from Judah, J-U-D-A, the tribe of Judah. That's where it comes from. Jewish, Jew, comes from Judah. And Judah was the tribe of praise, the praisers. And if you don't know this, they were the ones that went out in front in the battle. When there was a battle, who went first? Judah went first. The praisers, okay? Of course, we're going to get into that next week. I'm rip-roaring for that. But I'm saying to you that this is important for you to know. It says, Judah shall remain. And those of you grafted in to the tribe of the line of Judah, the praisers, shall remain forever and ever. And Jerusalem from generation to generation. And so I think we need to understand that this promise, God says, is yes, and that he should lie. So as we close tonight, I'm going to pray, and we're going to be in agreement, that the roar of the Lion of Judah shall be heard throughout the nations to bring back the Jewish people, and that to establish God's kingdom in the earth. Amen? In Jerusalem, Israel. Father, I pray for everyone that's watching on the video and the television and on the audio and those here, God. Father, we release our faith together right now that the roar of the Lion of Judah shall come forth from your people. That you will stir them up, God, like a lion. That you will stir them up, God, to roar, to want to take the areas that they're in, possession and captive, in whatever city that you're in, living in right now, that you will begin to take that area captive so that the people can be set free. And Father, we release our faith as we read in Hosea, God, that as the roar comes forth, that the roar will release the captives in the West. And Father, even in other areas, but as they're here in America, we release our faith that the Jewish people will be released to go forth back to Israel. And Father, we thank you that your word is truth. It goes to where it's sent and there it prospers. And Father, we thank you that even as you said in Joel, that forever, Lord, forever, Judah shall remain in Jerusalem from generation to generation. Father, we release our faith that you're raising up mighty warriors today. Mighty warriors that will roar and be like the Lion of Judah. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See you the next time. You're watching or listening and you don't have leadership that's leading you correctly, my suggestion to you is you need to pray and seek God. Maybe you need to come out of where you are and go somewhere else where there is a clear sound coming from the pulpit, a clear direction for the people, because you will not be able to go to battle. You will be defeated. And the sound must be very distinct, very clear, and it must be a sound where people come together. me to close with this. A number of years ago, the Spirit of God gave me a prophetic poem for the body of Messiah. And it's on our website. And I wanted to read it tonight also for those of you that are here and those of you that are watching on audio. I'm watching on video and listening on audio. And this is the word that the Spirit of God gave me. O church, can't you hear? I'm blowing my trumpet because the end is near. I'm sending revival to sweep this land. So take your places and see my hand moving and changing in this great land. For Satan is moving too. He's given his marching orders to his crew. He has plots and plans and devices ready to try to deceive many. So wake up, my people, and hear my war cry. It's time for battle stations, and don't ask why. For the hour is coming for my voice to be heard. So be not silent and attend to my word. Get in your places and watch and see how I will defeat the enemy. Praise God. I want you to just meditate on what I just spoke by the Spirit of God. And for those of you that are tuned in to us by video or audio, and those of you sitting here, I want you to check out if you're in your places. And if you're not, just get in them and don't get out. Because we are in the end times. And we need every warrior. God needs every single warrior, no matter how young, how old, to be in their place, to do what God has called us to do, to see this victory through. Amen. God bless you.